Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. What a great blessing it is to once again be gathered together in presence of our God, the second time today. Particular welcome to any visitors who are with us, also those who are on live stream, welcome. May we be praised, may we praise and glorify our Heavenly Father, and may we join together in our hearts and minds in worship of Him. Consistory has the following announcements. Tomorrow evening there will be a meeting as elders only in the consistory room, commencing at 8 o'clock. You're advised of the synod that will commence tomorrow evening at 7:30 in Free Reformed Church of Albany. We welcome Reverend Vermeulen to the pulpit this afternoon. And before we begin our worship, let us sing from hymn 78, verses 2 and 3.
Rise to worship the Lord. As congregation, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Receive now the greeting of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Congregation, let us praise God with the words of Psalm 71, stanzas 1 and 3.
Thank you.
Together with the Church of all times and places, we now make profession of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. After that, let us praise the name of the Lord with the words of Hymn 7, stanzas 1 and 2. Hymn 7, stanzas 1 and 2 after the Creed. Let each of you say with me in his heart as follows, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Come before the Lord in prayer and ask for a blessing over the proclamation of the gospel. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks for your mercy and nearness. We thank you that you have come near us in Jesus Christ, that he is our Saviour who delivers us from our sins. We thank you that you reveal yourself in Jesus Christ every week again in the preaching, encouraging us with all the riches that there are in him. We can live our lives in the midst of this world with hope and faith, for you are with us, you richly bless us. Grant that we may see more of the glorious work of Jesus Christ for us sinners in the preaching this afternoon. Give strength to me to bring your word. May we have all we need to listen and take it in and so be built up by your word. Strengthen us, your people, in the true doctrine. Work faith in us that we may eagerly embrace the salvation you so freely give. Bless all of us who gather here. Be with the children that they may understand and learn and grow in knowledge. That through their sitting under the preaching, the day may come when they confess the faith that you work in them through the word. Be with the young people, that they may be equipped by your word as they become more independent from parents and learn to take responsibility themselves for what they believe and how they live as your children in this world. Be with the adults, each in our situations, that the word may encourage, remind us of the riches we have and guide us in a life of daily new obedience. Hear our prayer, for Christ's sake alone. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this afternoon we pay attention to God's revelation about the doctrine of baptism, as the church has summarized that, and we confess it in Lord's Day 26. In connection with that, we are going to read, first of all, from Ezekiel chapter 36, the verses 16 to 32. Then we're going to turn to Matthew 28, the verses 16 to 20. Read also from Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. So first of all, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 16. And there the Lord proclaims to his people what he was going to do for them after their time in exile. Ezekiel 36, verse 16, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, when the house of Israel lived in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their ways before me were like the uncleanness of a woman in her menstrual impurity. So I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood that they had shed in the land, for the idols with which they had defiled it. I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through the countries. In accordance with their ways and their deeds I judged them. When they came to the nations, wherever they came, they profaned my holy name. And that people said of them, These are the people of the Lord, and yet they had to go out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations to which they came. Therefore say to the house of Israel, Thus says the Lord God, It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all your uncleannesses. And I will summon the grain and make it abundant, and lay no famine upon you. I will make the fruit of the trees and the increase of the field abundant, that you may never again suffer the disgrace of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways, and your deeds that were not good. And you will loathe yourselves for your iniquities and your abominations. It is not for your sake that I will act, declares the Lord God. Let that be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. We turn now to the New Testament and we read from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Matthew 28, verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And finally, for our scripture reading, we turn to Titus chapter 3. We read the verses 1 through 8. Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarrelling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that being justified by his grace we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. So far, the reading of God's Word. We also turn to one of our other confessions, the Belgic Confession, and read together Article 34, where we also have a summary of the scriptural teaching about baptism. Article 34, as that can be found on page 513 of your books of praise. Article 34. We believe and confess that Jesus Christ, who is the end of the law, has by his shed blood put an end to every other shedding of blood that one could or would make as an expiation or satisfaction for sins. He has abolished circumcision, which involved blood, and has instituted in its place the sacrament of baptism. By baptism we are received into the church of God and set apart from all other peoples and false religions to be entirely committed to him whose mark and emblem we bear. This serves as a testimony to us that he will be our God and gracious Father forever. For that reason he has commanded all those who are his to be baptized with plain water into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. By this he signifies to us that as water washes away the dirt of the body when poured on us, and as water is seen on the body of the baptized when sprinkled on him, so the blood of Christ by the Holy Spirit does the same thing internally to the soul. It washes and cleanses our soul from sin, and regenerates us from children of wrath into children of God. This is not brought about by the water as such, but by the sprinkling of the precious blood of the Son of God, which is our Red Sea, through which we must pass to escape the tyranny of Pharaoh, that is, the devil, and enter into the spiritual land of Canaan. Thus the ministers on their part give us the sacrament and what is visible. But our Lord gives us what is signified by the sacrament, namely, the invisible gifts and grace. He washes, purges, and cleanses our souls of all filth and unrighteousness, renews our hearts and fills them with all comfort, gives us true assurance of his fatherly goodness, clothes us with the new nature, and takes away the old nature with all its works. We believe, therefore, that anyone who aspires to eternal life ought to be baptized only once. Baptism should never be repeated, for we cannot be born twice. Moreover, baptism benefits us not only when the water is on us and when we receive it, but throughout our whole life. For that reason, we reject the error of the Anabaptists, who are not content with a single baptism received only once, and also condemn the baptism of the little children of believers. We believe that these children ought to be baptized and sealed with the sign of the covenant, as infants were circumcised in Israel on the basis of the same promises which are now made to our children. Indeed, Christ shed his blood to wash the children of believers just as much as he shed it for adults. Therefore they ought to receive the sign and sacrament of what Christ has done for them, as the Lord commanded in the law that a lamb was to be offered shortly after children were born. This was the sacrament of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. Because baptism has the same significance for our children as circumcision had for the people of Israel, Paul calls baptism the circumcision of Christ. Congregation, as we prepare to listen to the preaching of God's word, let us sing together from Psalm 86, stanza 4.
Thank you.
text for this afternoon's proclamation of the gospel is God's revelation about baptism as the church has summarized that teaching, and we together confess it in Lord's Day 26 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Let us read Lord's Day 26 together. And there it is asked and answered, how does holy baptism signify and seal to you that the one sacrifice of Christ on the cross benefits you? In this way, Christ instituted this outward washing, with it gave the promise that as surely as the water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and spirit wash away the impurity of my soul, that is, all my sins. What does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood and spirit? To be washed with Christ's blood means to receive forgiveness of sins from God through grace because of Christ's blood poured out for us in his sacrifice on the cross. To be washed with his Spirit means to be renewed by the Holy Spirit and sanctified to be members of Christ, so that more and more we become dead to sin and lead a holy and blameless life. Whereas Christ promised that he will wash us with his blood and spirit, as surely as we are washed with the water of baptism, in the institution of baptism, where he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. This promise is repeated where Scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. After the proclamation of the gospel, our Amen song will be from Psalm 51, stanzas 3 and 4. Psalm 51, stanzas 3 and 4. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, when is the last time that you used your baptism? You confess, we read it in Article 34, you confess that baptism benefits us not only when the water is on us and when we receive it, but throughout our whole life. You only benefit from it when you use it. And when we talk about using your baptism, it means that you pay attention to what God says to you in your baptism, that you meditate on those promises, that you take comfort from them. Yes, as children already, you should be learning to use your baptism. As teenagers, your baptism is important. You need to keep using it throughout your life. As a busy parent, when you've got lots of things that you've got to get to, you need to keep using your baptism. Also, as you draw near to the end of your life. And we'll pay attention to that this afternoon, how we use our baptism throughout our life. We'll do that with a Trinitarian focus. Our theme, baptism, a sign that benefits you throughout your life. We'll see that baptism is a sign, first of all, of the Father's gracious love, secondly, of the Son's cleansing blood, and finally, baptism is a sign of the Spirit's renewing work. So baptism is a sign that benefits you throughout your life. It's a sign of the Father's gracious love, the Son's cleansing blood, and finally a sign of the Spirit's renewing work. First of all, baptism is a sign of the Father's gracious love. If you had been noting it as we read through, you would have noticed that the Lord's Day on baptism really focuses on the work of the Son and the Holy Spirit, the washing with Christ's blood and the washing with Christ's Spirit. But baptism is clearly also connected to the work of God the Father. I think of that baptismal command in Matthew 28, baptize them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And even the work of the Son and the Spirit are connected to the Father. You think what the Lord Jesus does by cleansing us from our guilt and thereby restoring us as children of God. Or the Holy Spirit, He cleanses us from our pollution so that we can live as obedient children of God. Baptism is also connected to the Father. And yes, baptism is a sign of the covenant. The water of baptism shows when there's a baby that's brought to the front by its parents and then the baby is baptized, the water on that baby's head. It shows that God the Father is making a covenant with this baby too. That baby is one of His children. The Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3 shows that being baptized and being sons of God, being children of God, go together. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, where the apostle says, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Being baptized goes together with being children of God. The Father, He declares His love and goodness to you in baptism. To use the words that the Apostle Paul used in Titus chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, those verses we read, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us." Baptism is a sign of the goodness and loving kindness of God towards us, His children. And God reveals that kindness to us by saving us through washing. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy by the washing of regeneration. And so congregation, see in baptism the Father's love for you, His child. You've been baptized, and that affirms for you His love for you. Yes, the Father is the cause of your salvation. He sent His Son into this world to die for sinners because He desires to be your loving Father, to have that relationship with you. The Almighty God who created heaven and earth is your loving Father by grace for Christ's sake. And that's what that water of baptism testifies to you. And that's very comforting, congregation. That's comforting for the children. There's benefits, you boys and girls who are here this afternoon, there's benefits in your baptism, that you were baptized when you were a baby. Maybe sometimes you get scared. And then you have a Father in heaven, a mighty Father, who says, "You belong to me." I think of those beautiful words that we sing about God in Psalm 121. The psalm that speaks about the power of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And it says in that psalm, "He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." And boys and girls, that means you have a Father in heaven who at night when you're in your bed, He stays awake and He's looking after you. He cares for you. And parents, encourage your children with this. As young as they are, when they're upset, also point them to the comfort that they have a Father in heaven because they were baptized. A mighty God who will look after them. And God's fatherly love, as it's testified in baptism, is also important for you teenagers. Yes, the teenage years can be bumpy ones. You're growing in independence from mum and dad. But you're also finding out that life comes with responsibilities and accountability. There's fears and concerns that you deal with and face. Maybe there's loneliness when you don't fit into a group. Sometimes there's frustrations. You experience situations that are outside of your control. Things go all wrong. You make a mess. And you've been baptized. That means the Almighty God has said to you, I will be your father. I will look after you. And he says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And I look after them. And that's how, and you're even more precious to me than the birds. I'll look after you. And yes, it's comforting for you adults as well. Although you were baptized probably many decades ago, as you get older, you realize more how unworthy you are of God's grace and love, how unworthy you are to be God's child. And baptism is a reminder that you belong. It points you to the fatherly goodness of your God. He says, you're my child. You belong to me because I set my love on you. And maybe sometimes as an adult in the midst of the busyness of life, the stresses, and everybody's looking to you, maybe the children, the family, everything's got to be, the buck stops with you. Sometimes you think, oh, if only I could be a child again. When I didn't have to have all these responsibilities, I could just trust that mum and dad would look after everything. And your father says to you in baptism, you still are a child, my child, and I will look after you. That's the comfort for you, congregation. Every time you witness a baptism, God declares not only to the baby that's being baptized, but he declares to us all, and you see that in the wording of the form, it's put in the plural, that these things are promised to us. But God promises, and we are reminded that every time there's a baptism, God promises to be our Father, who establishes an eternal covenant of grace with us, adopting us for his children and heirs, promising to provide us with all good and avert all evil or turn it to our benefit. What does it mean to use your baptism? It means that in the midst of your situation in life, young, teenage, adult, older, that you think about what God has promised you, and so you live a comforted, peaceful life, the life of a contented child. And that brings us to our second point. Baptism is also a sign of the Son's cleansing blood. You can say that the emphasis in Lord's Day 26 is on the second person of the Trinity, on the Son of God. It's the blood of Christ and the Spirit of Christ that cleanses us. The emphasis is on the Son of God, and that's appropriate. You think even on the New Testament, baptism was often done. We read about it being done in the name of Jesus. In congregation, all the gifts of God in baptism are found in Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sins, that's a gift that comes to us from Christ. The fact that we are made children of God, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that we have received the adoption as children. And renewal, it's because Christ gives us his Holy Spirit that we are renewed. All the gifts of God in baptism are found in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's no wonder that he stands central in the explanation of the meaning of baptism. He instituted this sacrament. The Son of God, who in his work on earth revealed to us the love of the Father. And he said to his disciples, he said, go forth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Baptism means to dip. It points to the use of water. You think of the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized by John. He was immersed in the river. Yes, we have the immersion in or the sprinkling with. And in the New Testament times, particularly when it was adults being baptized, there would have been immersion. But over time, as more children were being baptized, and as the gospel also came to colder areas, then also sprinkling with water was used. That's why our form still captures both the immersion in or sprinkling with water. The form is not so important, it's the fact that water is used. It's a sign of washing. A sign that comes to all the members of the church. A physical outward thing. Something that happens to them, an outward thing for every member of the church. A sacrament, a sign of God's grace and his goodness. And why is it called a sacrament? Because Christ connected this physical act, this act of putting water on the body, whether by immersion or sprinkling with water, this physical act of putting water on the body, Christ connected that with spiritual promises. In Matthew 28, he said, baptize them into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The baptized are said to have a relationship with God. That water points to their relationship with God. Or you think of Mark chapter 16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Salvation comes through baptism. Not that the water saves us. And that's what Lord's Day 27 will go on to make clear. The water itself does not save us, but baptism is connected by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to the washing away of sins. I think of the way Ananias talked about baptism when he told Paul to go and get baptized. That's that text, Acts 22, where baptism is called the washing away of sins. Maybe you know what happened. Saul, who became Paul, he was on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians. He was trying to exterminate the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was going to do everything to bring the church to nothing. And then the Lord Jesus stopped him in his tracks, blinded him, but brought him to conversion. And he went to Damascus, where Ananias came to him to proclaim to him the gospel. And you think of the Apostle Paul, having come to see that what he'd been doing, and he would have remembered the things that he'd been doing, the wicked deeds against the church of Jesus Christ, and he'd been fighting with Christ. Imagine having that on your conscience. And then Ananias says to him, in Acts chapter 22, verse 16, he says, but now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. You're dirty, yes. Got a horrible past, yes, but get baptized and wash away your sins. Ananias talks to him almost as if the baptism itself will wash away his sins. And it doesn't, because he adds to calling on his name. There's a close connection between baptism and washing away of sins. The words of Scripture, the words of the Spirit of Christ, lay a close connection between the two. That's why it's a sacrament. It's a sign and a seal of the washing away of sins. It's a sign of washing. And boys and girls, if you come inside after playing outside after school, And your mum says to you, go and wash your hands and feet before you come in here. Then you understand, she notices that you're dirty and you need to get cleaned up before you come inside and walk around on the carpet. The command, go and wash your hands and feet, implies that you're dirty. And the Lord Jesus tells his church, go and get baptized. That implies that his church is dirty, that she needs cleansing. In that way, brothers and sisters, baptism is a very humbling sign that the Lord Jesus left to his church. It's a sign to remind us of our need for cleansing. But it's also encouraging, because it teaches you that you are dirty by washing you. Not that the water itself will wash away your sins. You've given in to some horrible sin and you're feeling guilty. You can have shower after shower. You can scrub and scrub and it will not wash away your guilt. Water can only wash so much. It cannot wash away our spiritual dirt. Only Christ's blood can. But Christ's blood does wash away our guilt. Baptism is a sign and seal of that. It's a sign of that. Just as the water on the body will wash away dirt from the body, that's how his blood will cleanse your soul from your sins. And it's a seal of that washing. And it's assurance you can trust that as surely as you are washed in the water of baptism, so surely Christ will wash you, the person who was baptized, with his blood. Baptism is for your comfort, brothers and sisters. God is not mocking you. You were baptized. God wants you to know Christ's blood is really for you, the person who was at the front, received the sign and seal of the covenant. And yes, baptism will benefit you throughout your life. And children, when you pray that prayer, many sins I have done today, please, Lord, wash them all away. When you pray that, when you ask God to wash away the sins, those mean things you did to your brother or sister, do you think he will? He's promised that he will. You are baptized. You have the water on you as an assurance. Jesus Christ will wash you from your sins with his blood. And teenagers, are you weighed down one way or another by the guilt of sin? Have you dishonored your parents, done things behind their backs that you know you shouldn't have? Given in to lust, skip church when you could have been here, repent and ask for forgiveness and then trust that promise in your baptism that Jesus Christ will wash you with his blood from your sins. Brothers and sisters, we all have sins and shortcomings. Sins in the workplace, in patience, where we fail others. Sins in our homes. Many things that go on there. In our marriages. Sins in our work in the church. God has given his 10 commandments. They're clear. They're to the point. 10 things. Let me look at our thoughts. The desires that come up in our hearts, the words that we have spoken, the emails, the texts that we've sent, the deeds that we have done, the places we've gone, the things we've done with our hands and feet and so on. There's such a contrast, such a contradiction between what God has said and the things that fill our lives. So many sins and shortcomings. But baptism, you've been baptized for your comfort. Cry out for forgiveness and trust that your sins will be washed away as surely as you had that water on your body. And yes, brothers and sisters, baptism comforts you throughout your life, also as you get older and draw near to the end of your life. Because then you think about it. Days coming closer when you need to stand before the Holy God. Not just before man, but before the Holy God. You go through the gates of death. And that can really weigh you down if you are conscious of your sins. And how can I, a sinner, stand before God? When you cry out for cleansing, you will be heard. You might have been baptized decades ago, but it's still of benefit. You'll be able to stand without spot or blemish among the assembly of God's elect. This baptism is humbling. It reminds us that we're dirty sinners, but how comforting. Jesus Christ assures us that he will wash us from all our sins. And it brings us to our third point. The baptism is also a sign of the Spirit's renewing work. Because baptism also points to being washed by Christ's Spirit. Because we need washing, not just from the guilt of our sins, but we also need washing from the pollution of our sins. The fact that through the fall into sin in Adam, we've become corrupted. Why does sin come so easily to us? Why don't we need to be taught how to sin? Because of that sinful nature that we all inherited from our first parents. And that's why we need also that washing of the Spirit to change us, to renew our nature more and more. And yes, these are the things that God speaks about in his word, that washing with the Holy Spirit. I think of what we read from Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, where the Lord said to his people about how he would restore them, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses." And then he says in the next verse, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." See how the Lord promises that renewal through the Holy Spirit, that hearts of stone will be replaced with hearts of flesh. And those hearts of stone are hearts that refuse to listen to God's word and do what he says, replaced with hearts of flesh that will heed the Lord and do what he says. "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will change you." And that's behind what the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus when Nicodemus came to him by night to ask him questions. And then the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Jesus is saying you need to be born of the Spirit, who is in a certain way like water. You need that kind of cleansing, that rebirth through the Spirit. Otherwise, you will not enter the kingdom of God. It's how essential it is to be born again, to be renewed by the Holy Spirit. And then baptism is a sign of the Spirit's work of renewal. Apostle Paul, in that passage we read from Titus 3, verse 5, spoke about God saving us according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. The washing of regeneration, that points to baptism. And renewal of the Holy Spirit, a regeneration and renewal through the working of the Holy Spirit. The way Paul speaks here, as if the water itself of baptism regenerates you. And again, we know the water itself doesn't do that. That comes back in the next Lord's Day. But Paul speaks that way as if the water regenerates us. That's how closely the sign of baptism is connected to the promise of the Spirit to renew you, to change you. The Spirit wants you to know that accompanying the water of baptism that was given to you when you were baptized is His promise to wash you internally, to change you. And that congregation is so comforting your whole life through. Baptism comforts you that there will be growth in holiness in your life, as certainly as you were baptized. Boys and girls, do you find it hard to obey Dad and Mum sometimes? Do you find it hard to speak kindly to others? Maybe to be kind to someone at school who has no friends? The Spirit has promised to change you, to make you more and more a kind person, an obedient person. Now, it's not going to happen all at once. His cleansing won't be finished in a moment. It's something that will take the rest of your life. But boys and girls, you can trust that it will happen, and that's why you should strive to listen to Mum and Dad. To be kind to others, to use your mouth to speak nice words. It'd be wrong not to strive to be good because the Holy Spirit has promised to renew you. And yes, teenagers, as you become more independent, then you also feel the pull of the world and sin. When you're very little, Mum and Dad say, no, you don't go here, you don't go there, you don't do this, you don't do that. There's more boundaries. But as you get older, Mum and Dad give you more independence. But then you also feel more the pull of the world and sin. And you can experience peer pressure. When it becomes very hard to stand up for what is right, you know that this shouldn't be happening, but because everybody in the friend group does it, you just go along with it. It can be so hard to stand up for what is right. And that's why, teenagers, your baptism is so comforting. The Holy Spirit has promised to strengthen you, to renew you, to cause you to grow in holiness. You could say baptism stands against the power of peer pressure. And yes, as adults, as mums and dads, as older people, your youthful struggles might be behind you. But then you also know that other struggles come in their place. To exert yourself to fulfill all the vows that you made. Sometimes it can be a great temptation to just do the minimum, to keep the elders off your back. Yes, the temptations continue to come throughout your life. As you understand what the will of the Lord is, and as you continuously get confronted with the power of the sinful flesh, and sometimes that can drive you to despair. You think of the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, where he says, the things I want to do, they're not the things I do, but the very things I don't want to do, these I do. You feel that struggle in Paul against the power of the old nature. And he cries out, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thank God, through Jesus Christ, he says. Jesus Christ, through His Spirit, will deliver us. Jesus Christ, through His Spirit, will strengthen us. You've been baptized for your comfort, that there will be growth in holiness. You can trust that. And yes, congregation, baptism therefore also calls you to live a holy life, to strive for holiness and obedience. Paul speaks in Titus chapter 3 very strongly. The washing of regeneration. Almost as if the water itself regenerates us. It brings the obligation to believe what the Spirit is promising us, that He will renew us, that He will regenerate that. And how do you show that you believe that promise that the Holy Spirit will work in you and change you? You show that by striving for holiness, because the Spirit has promised to equip you, to strengthen you. Hypocrites who refuse to strive for holiness, who go through the motions but refuse to put away sin. Maybe they do it outwardly but not secretly. They continue to live in sin. They make a mockery of baptism. Because the Holy Spirit has promised to renew them, to change them. They have that promise. And they refuse to live in a way that shows they believe that promise. They make God a liar. Do you understand why baptized people who refuse to walk in the ways of baptism are such an abomination to the Lord? You think of how the Lord addressed those cities amongst God's people and said it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment to have been from Sodom and Gomorrah than to have been part of the people of God with the promises that come with that, and have refused to walk in the ways of the Lord. The calling comes to you in baptism to live a holy life, to show that you believe that baptism is the washing of regeneration, and then to trust that the Holy Spirit will equip you more and more to lead a holy life. It's been promised to you as surely as you were baptized. Yes, congregation, you've been baptized for your comfort, your only comfort in life and death, from the cradle to the grave. Baptism points to your only comfort, that you are not your own. You're not dependent on your own strength, but you belong to a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who promises to save you completely. Believe His promise, and so be comforted. Amen. In our prayer this afternoon, we will remember the Reverend Ryan de Jong family who are leaving for Papua New Guinea tomorrow from Canada. Let us pray to the Lord. Merciful Father in heaven, we come to you in humble thankfulness for instructing us from your word this afternoon. Help each one of us to treasure our baptisms, to take comfort from the promises of the gospel that are so clearly displayed there. We thank you that you reveal in baptism that you are our loving Father for Christ's sake. We thank you that in the midst of this world, in the midst of the busyness of life and the difficulties that life often brings, we know that we are under the care of our Heavenly Father who loves us, who cares for us. And we thank you too for the promise that you will wash us from our sins through the blood of your Son. We cannot clean ourselves. Our filth is something that no scrubbing can remove. We thank you that you reveal that you wash what we cannot. The blood of your Son washes the impurity of our souls. Father, we cling in faith to this promise, trusting that you will wash us from our sins as you said you would. We thank you that thereby we can know that we are righteous before you. On the last day we will stand without spot or blemish among the assembly of your elect. And Father, grant that we may never take your promises for granted, but continuously come to you in prayer and faith, asking you to fulfill the promise that you made to wash us from our sins. And we thank you too for the comfort we receive in the forgiveness of sins. Work in us that we use our baptism throughout our life. And we thank you that your salvation is complete, that you not only promise to wash away the guilt of our sins, but also to wash us with the Holy Spirit. Father, we ask that that work of the Holy Spirit will continue in us, that we may more and more turn from sins, that we may more and more see our sin for what it is, hate it, flee from it, and pursue righteousness and holiness. May we all walk in your ways through the power of your Holy Spirit, striving to do good, looking to you to work this in us. Fulfill your promise to replace stone hearts with hearts of flesh more and more. And grant that we may always keep striving for increase in holiness and obedience in our lives. And Father, as we go back to our daily tasks, in the remainder of this week, grant that we may use this week in your service. Help us to see that our time is not our own, but it's something you have given us to use each part of it to your honour and glory. Keep us always focused on you and the worship of your name. We also pray for the de Jong family as they leave Canada to go back to Papua New Guinea. Will you protect them as they travel? Bring them there safely in due time. Give them all that they need as they take up that work there in Papua New Guinea again. Lord, will you provide and grant that the gospel may continue to go forth with power. Your church will be gathered in, also in that land. Hear our prayer in Christ Jesus' name alone. Amen. You now have opportunity to bring your offerings for the work at the Canadian Reformed Theological Seminary. And after you have brought your offerings, let us rise and sing together from Psalm 71, stanzas 9, 10, 11, and 12. Psalm 71, stanzas 9, 10, 11, and 12. Thank you. us lift up our hearts to the Lord, receive his blessing, and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.